Good afternoon. All you out there in Zoom land, welcome this afternoon. It's 12, just about 12 o'clock on the button. And those that weren't here this morning, again, a special welcome to you. We're going through the book of Revelation, and I think God has been blessing us. And this morning we talked about Revelation chapter 8 and the importance of prayer, which is a very biblical concept, and it's very important to pray. Revelation chapter nine. The subject this morning is very interesting. Everybody asked me why. Why? I don't understand why. Oh, you're going to say why what? Oh, yes, I forgot. Yeah, you asked me why is there so much problems in the world, and why you talk about a God of love, and God is not a God of love. How can he be a God of love and allow all what goes on in the world? A lot of people say that. And so while I was reading in Revelation chapter 9, I came across some very important things. Because Revelation chapter 9 talks about the justice of God and the love of God. And I'm going to be repeating some of the things this morning because it's so important. And we're going to be doing some reading also. So let's look at this here, and let's see what it says here. Get all this stuff out of the way here. Revelation chapter 9 focuses on the theme of judgment, divine wrath, and the consequences of repentance, of unrepentance. There's a consequence of not accepting Jesus. There's a consequence. Everything in life we do, there's consequences. We say that to our children, don't we? There's consequences if you steal that cookie. There's consequences if you don't obey your mommy and daddy. And we could go on and on and on. But it's described between the fifth and sixth trumpet judgment, unleashing tormenting locusts and vast armies causing widespread destruction. And there's all these things going on. And people say, but why? Why? Well, let's read the verses here. Let's read the verses. Okay, we'll go back. And the rest of the men... There we go. The rest of the men which were not killed by those plagues, yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, whether neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repent they of their murderers, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Let me read that again, because these are concepts of the Bible that the world can't understand. I have a trouble with it too, until I really got a grasp of it, that God is a God of love and a God of mercy. But God is also a God that has to have rules. Now the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold and silver, and brass and stone and of wood, which neither could see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murderers, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They didn't repent. They didn't in spite of all the problems that was happening there in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Revelation, of all the warnings and all of the provision of God, they didn't repent. And that's like the same thing today. I have to say the truth, that if you do not accept God's way, there's consequences. Let's continue. The Bible describes God as both a God of love and a God of justice. These two attributes are not seen as contrary, but rather as interconnected aspects of God's character and action. God's love motivates his desire to forgive and repent, while his justice requires accountability for sin. God has provided a way. God has provided a way that we will not be judged if we obey his way. But if we don't obey his way, then we're going to be judged. Now, I'm going to repeat that in different ways today because it's a hard concept to grasp. How can Ron Edgecombe be a person who loves people and yet sometimes he has to chastise his children? Do they go together? Is there conflict here? Well, I don't think there is conflict, but a lot of people believe there is conflict. God's love and justice are not opposite forces, but rather two inseparable aspects of his divine nature. His divine nature. God's love is expressed in his mercy and compassion, while his justice is manifested in his righteousness, judgment, and adherent to his law. These two attributes work together. They're not opposite. They work together, with God's justice ensuring that sin is addressed and his love provided a path to redemption and reconciliation. God wants to reconcile with people. God wants to be a part of your life. God wants to be a part of your family. God wants to be a part of all of our families. He has provided a way that we can be a part of it. Why? Because he loves us. I mean, I have to chastise my children when they were young to not touch the... I'm thinking Spanish, cocina. Not touch the hot plate. What is the thing we cook on?
Stove.
Anyway, I had to teach my kids to not touch the stove. And if they touched the stove, there was consequences. And I told them they should go this way or that way, but they shouldn't go that way and touch the stove. So this is same as God. And we're going to go through this over and over, and I'm going to show you a lot of verses. Friends, God's love. The Bible often describes God as love. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God who was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. We will not be judged if we obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Other verses. This love is not simply an emotion, but a fundamental aspect of his being, encompassing his compassion, mercy, and desire to have a relationship with humanity. He wants to walk and talk with you every day. As I said in the first meeting, I didn't have a father that I could go to and talk to and relate to. But I had a heavenly father that I could. And he talks to me. Oh, you're going to say, Ron, come on now. Yes, he talks to me through his word. And I talk to him through prayer. As I read the word of God, over and over and over and over, do I get tired? No, Because God talks to me through the word, and different times of my life, the same verse means something different. I mean, there's only one interpretation, but there's so many applications. So when I'm reading the Bible, God is talking to me. And if I'm in a certain situation, he'll bring up things in the Bible that will help me in that situation. And he never leaves me. He's always with me. That is so important. So important. Let's go to the next one there. But God's justice is his perfect and consistent adherence to his own righteous standards. That's why I'm reading this, because it's relatively hard. I mean, to try to grasp this. But God's justice is his perfect and constant adherence to his own righteous standards. He has standards. Now, the Jewish people in their time, they had the Ten Commandments, right? And that was the measuring stick. That was the measuring stick. And that's what we tried to do. Now we have the Word of God. And he tells us what we should do and what we shouldn't do in the Word of God.
Well, you've got to say, but he never told me anything.
Well, maybe you haven't really looked. Maybe you haven't really searched. Maybe you really don't want to. There's things in here I don't like because it hurts me. Because I do it and I shouldn't do it, and then I get chastised because there's consequences for my disobedience. It means that he will not tolerate sin and will ultimately hold all accountable for their actions. Harmony of love and justice. The concept of God's justice is often misunderstood, as I've said before, in a different way, as being in conflict with his love. However, the Bible reveals that God's justice is an expression of his love. Because God loves righteous and hates evil, he must also judge sin. It's a hard concept, but it's so important. Oh, but God is a God of love, they tell me on the streets of Vancouver. Oh, but God is a God of love. Look what's happening in Ukraine. Look what's happening in Russia. Look what happened in Israel. Look what happened in Palestine. God is a God of love. Baloney, they say. God is not a God of love, but God is a God of love. And those are consequences. I don't know all the ins and outs of these things. I'm not in the political arena, but they're consequences. The Bible illustrates God's love and justice through numerous examples. Through many, many passages. For instance, we know the verse. Car Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son fils unique. For God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. We know that one. But how about 1 John 4:8? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. And if you are a Christian, you should be noted by your love. I gave an illustration. Again, I apologize for those that were here this morning. I gave an illustration that we just finished DVPS at my church, at Cascades Church, and I was asked to do the barbecue. So of course I went with a special apron on and a special cooking hat, you know, the big white cooking hats, you know, and all for the kids, you know, and I'm there making hamburgers and people walking by. And I gave this example this morning, but there's new people here. And I said to the people, hey, come on, have a hamburger. Come on, hot dog, hamburgers, free right here. And two ladies came. And to make a long story short, we gave him a hot dog, hamburger, we gave him, I couldn't talk to him, they left. I was writing a friend of mine and I said, how bad I felt that I didn't talk Mandarin. I couldn't do anything. And this person wrote me back and chastised me. She says, you showed those ladies L-O-V-E. Maybe it was better that I didn't talk to him. Small example. I'm sure you can give me lots more examples. More verses. Isaiah 30:18. And therefore, will the Lord wait? that he might be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may be mercy unto you? For the Lord is God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait on him. So God is a God of judgment. But he's provided a way. That's what people don't understand. They say, oh yeah, but that was Abraham's, Adam and Eve's fault. There's one person's sin, so it's not my fault. But through Adam and Eve, sin came into the world. But through Jesus Christ, we have overcome sin. We have found a way to have redemption, have a way of cleansing us. These verses, among others, reflect the balance. There's a balance of God's love, nature, and his commitment to justice. Are you getting what I'm putting down? Are you picking up what I'm dropping? I hope so, because this is very important, because people out there that don't go to church and walk in the streets of Vancouver, they think we're full of baloney. Whoever does not love does not know God. God is love. I mean, there's all these wonderful verses. Repeatedly emphasizes his steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. No matter what you do, God loves you. But there's consequences if you do things against God's law. And God's law is found in the Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, there's lots of Bibles back there. And if you don't like this version, there's 7 or 8 different versions. Talk to Harold. And we know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to repeat that. That's got to get into your head, that God is a God of love. Examples of God's justice, Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. He's a just God. Do we have justice in this world? We don't have justice. We say we have justice, the courts and everything, but God is just. And he rewards those, and sometimes he has to chastise those. God will repay each person according to what they have done. These are all verses from the Bible. How about this one? Genesis 18:25. Abraham acknowledged, will not the judge of all the earth do right? God is a God of righteous judgment. More examples. Revelation 6:10. The souls of the martyrs cried out, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. This shows God's commitment to justice for the oppressed. And God judges them. We read that in chapter 7 to chapter 8 and chapter 9. God brings judgment on the world because they haven't obeyed him. Revelation 20:12-13, the final judgment scene where the dead were judged according to what they had done, emphasizing God's fair and righteous judgment. We have a great God. You know, a lot of these other religions, I talk to people every day about my Jesus, you know. I love him. I love him better every day. And I love talking about him. And a lot of people tell me where to go and how to get there in the fastest way possible. And you know what I tell them? I ain't going to hell. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did for me. But I can tell them that God loves them, even though they think that he's full of baloney. But God is real. He's not a figure of our imagination. God's love, yes? Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. This reflects God's love, loving correction aimed at guiding people back to him. God wants us to go to him, and we can go to him through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It says in the Bible that there's one mediator between God and man, the man of Christ Jesus. So you can get to God. You don't have to go through any person or any theology. You don't even have to go to Regent College. And I'm just saying that as a joke, because these are great places. You don't have to go there. Right now, you can say, Lord Jesus, I don't understand everything that person is ranting and raving about, but I want to accept you as my personal Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for bleeding for me. And he'll come into your life. I'd like to talk to you after, too. If you make a decision during this meeting, I'd like to talk to you. You don't have to buy me a coffee at Starbucks. That's okay. But we can sit here for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and we can talk about it. Jesus' arm is wide open. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then we can have that peace we've been singing about this morning. Revelation 21:3, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. This illustrates God's deep compassion and desire for eternal fellowship with humanity. Ah, he wants to be your friend. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your Father. He wants to be your deliverer. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? And God asked Isaac to do something just about impossible. But what did God do? God provided. God provided a ram as a substitute for Isaac. God provided his son as a substitute for you being crucified and going to hell. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that word, but it's in the Bible. There's two places, heaven and hell. And the consequences of not accepting Jesus Christ is hell for eternity. But the consequences of accepting Jesus is eternity with him. Now, we had a meeting this morning. Some of you were there, not all of you. It's called the worship meeting. Hoo-hoo! We spent an hour. I thought I was in heaven. We sang, we read verses, we prayed. It was beautiful. All to do with God the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God provided a ram here to do an offering instead of Isaac. But you know the story. And God provided Jesus on the cross. How about Israel's exodus from Egypt? God's delivered of the Israelites from Egypt demonstrates his provision. You know the story. He opened up the sea and they walked through. Hey, woo! Right through the sea. God provided a way. He provided a way of a deliverance for the people. They didn't have to go back into slavery to Egypt. The Egyptians were coming after them. They said, we made a mistake. We let go all those good Egyptians that are working hard. Bring them back. But God didn't want them to go back to them. He delivered them. And he'll deliver you, and he's delivered me, and he's delivered many people here. David spoke of God's guidance and care, reflecting his personal love. This is a personal thing. This is something that we can grasp, put our hands on. New Testament, again, Jesus' sacrifice, and we read that verse. He loves us. How about this one? The prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? The parable illustrates God's boundless mercy and readiness to forgive. Remember the story of the son? The son was a rebellious person. And he said, Dad, give me my inheritance. Thank you. Ciao. Adios. Arrivederci. And he took off. And he wasted it all. And he came back on his hands and knees just about, asking for forgiveness. And did his father accept him? You sure did. His father was waiting there with his arms wide open and said, come home, son. Come home. And God is there with his arms open too, and Jesus wanting you to come back to him. Because that was the idea in the Garden of Eden. He wanted to walk and talk with Adam and Eve and with God, but they sinned, so sin came into the world. But God wants to win us back to him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll do that. Good examples. Jesus healing the sick demonstrates compassion, love, through physical and spiritual healing. I mean, there's so many wonderful examples, wonderful. The great flood, God's justice, is response to humanity's corruption, balanced by his convert with Noah. Remember Noah and the ark? It was there for everybody, and just Noah and his family went into the ark. Everybody else perished. That's why God is there. That's why we have these wonderful examples in the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah, a clear act of divine justice against rapid wickedness. Remember, fire and brimstone destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but he gave them a chance to leave. King David's sin with Bathsheba, he confessed it. He asked God's forgiveness, and it was restored. Yes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I mean, this is reality. New Testament again. Ananias and Sapphira, they face immediate judgment for deceit, embarrassing God's holiness. God had to judge them, but he loved them. He gave them an opportunity. How about the judgment of the nation? Jesus describes a final judgment outlining justice for the acting towards others. I mean, we're just about finished. I mean, there's so many. The cross, God's justice is satisfied through Jesus' sacrifice, addressing sin while offering repentance. Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearing he had passed over former sins. It was shown his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justified of the one who has faith in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. Jesus died for you. He died for me. Today, it says in the Bible, today is that day. Today is the day of salvation, is a common expression in the Christian context, particularly within the evangelical tradition, often referring to 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, and embracing the urgency of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It highlights the belief that God offers of salvation is available in the present moment, today, a key, EC, aorta, whatever language you speak. Now is the time. And we have the verse next here. We'll put the verse up to close off. For he said, in the time of my favor, I hear you. And in the day of salvation, I help you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So why don't you come? As I said, I've got to clean up all my, I call it my ministry tools. My wife calls them my toys. But I have to collect all of my ministry tools. So I'm going to be here for a few minutes. And I can sit down here and talk to you if you want to come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. And then you won't have to go through this judgment. God wants to show his mercy to you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this illustration we have in the Bible of so many great illustrations of justice and love. And we thank you, Heavenly God, Father, that you love the world. You loved us so much you gave your Son to take our place. We don't have to go to hell. We can go to heaven. All we have to do is trust in Jesus, ask him to forgive us our sins, and to follow him. We ask, Heavenly Father, if there's any here this morning that have never done that, that today might be their day of salvation. We know, Heavenly Father, it says in Revelation chapter 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door, at the heart's door, and knock. If anybody opens, I will come in. And we pray that there'll be some here this morning who realize that you are knocking on their door and that they'll open their hearts to receive you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.